Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the scripture lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 5, which was just read. From our text, we learn that the Ark of the Covenant was now in the hands of the enemies. The Philistines had defeated the armies of Israel in a fierce battle, and the Ark had been captured. And for the Israelites, this was now a time of national sorrow and mourning. Not only did they lose 30,000 soldiers in this one particular battle, the Ark of God, the holiest object of Israel's religion, was now in the hands of the pagan Philistines. And the news of the Ark's capture sent shockwaves throughout the land of Israel. When Eli, the high priest, learned of its capture, he fell backward off his chair, broke his neck, and died. When Eli's pregnant daughter-in-law heard of the Ark's capture, she went into labor and gave birth to a son whom she named Ichabod, which means no glory, since the glory of the Lord had departed from Israel. The Ark was truly a holy thing in the eyes of the people. It was the place where the presence of the Lord was to be found. The scriptures of the Old Testament proclaim that the Lord himself sat enthroned above the ark between the cherubim that were depicted upon its cover. This cover, which was also known as the mercy seat, was the place where the Lord would speak to Moses whenever he would enter the tent of the meeting to receive the word of God. This was also the place where the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was sprinkled in the Holy of Holies as the high priest made atonement for himself, for his household, and for the entire community of Israel. Therefore, the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God's saving presence was found. It was the place where God's word was revealed. It was the place where the Lord received the blood of atonement for the forgiveness of sins. In our text, we read that the Philistines took the ark and placed it in a pagan temple where the false god by the name of Dagon was worshipped. And there, the ark sat next to a heathen idol. And when the Philistines awoke the next day, they found that their idol had fallen to the ground, face down before the ark of God. The Philistines picked it up and put their idol back in its place. But the next morning, once again, the idol had fallen face down to the ground, only this time its head and its hands were broken off and lying on the floor. Obviously, the Lord was showing the Philistines that their capture of the ark was not due to the superior power of their pagan god. Dagon, after all, was a worthless idol whose image could not even stand in the holy presence of the Lord. Dagon was a false god whose likeness could be broken and shatter. However, the Lord, the God of Israel, was the true God, and he was the one who permitted the Philistines to win the battle and to capture the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord had temporarily turned his back on his own people because of their sin, and he allowed them to suffer this humiliating defeat at the hands of their enemies. In the verses that follow our text in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we're told that the Lord began to afflict the Philistines, especially in the city of Ashdod, with painful tumors. And the Philistines became so afraid of the ark that they sent it from one town to the next to try to get rid of the plague that had fallen upon the people. And finally they gave up and they sent it back to the land of Israel, mounted upon a cart pulled by two cows. And when the ark was returned, the people of Israel rejoiced, and they sacrificed the cows as a thank offering to the Lord. This text reminds us that the one true God is a jealous God. The Lord will not share his glory with idols. He has no part in heathen worship and pagan temples. Apart from the Lord, there is no God. He deserves all glory, honor, and praise. No idol can stand in his presence. But our text also reminds us that the invisible, the all-powerful, omnipotent God of this world uses tangible means to reveal his saving presence to the people of this world. The God who fills all heaven and earth was pleased to dwell between the cherubim that rested upon the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this was not to say that God was somehow physically limited to that wooden box that was covered with gold, but rather the Ark was the visible means chosen by the eternal God to reveal his saving presence to his people Israel. In the Old Testament, the Ark was that place where the Word of God was revealed. It was the place where atonement for sin was made. Thanks be to God, we in the New Testament, we also have the saving presence of the living God dwelling among us to reveal his will, to forgive our sins. God humbled himself and he visibly dwelt among us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and he is the very means for the atonement for the sins of the whole world. He is God's Word come down to this earth, and through his blood, which flowed from his veins, atonement was made for our sins upon the altar of his cross. He has come to reveal the truth of the kingdom and to remove the guilt of our sins. And thanks be to God, this saving presence of Jesus Christ is still with us today as his Word is preached, as his sacraments are administered. Christ comes to us as the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, as his sacraments are rightly administered. And we enter into that holy presence of the living God as the scriptures are read, as we eat Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. These means of grace offer us forgiveness and strength for our faith. But our text also reminds us that the means of God's revelation must always be rightly used and must not be mocked by sinful men. As God brought judgment upon those Philistines for the misuse of his Ark of the Covenant, God holds those accountable who mishandle his word, who misuse his sacraments. The holy things of God cannot be blasphemed without incurring sin and guilt. Of course, the Philistines found it out the hard way as they tried to place the Ark of God on the same level as their pagan god whom they worshipped and served. We even see an example of this in the New Testament, recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul rebukes the church at Corinth for misusing the Lord's Supper as an excuse for practicing gluttony and drunkenness. And Paul explains that the reason why some have fallen sick and even suffered death is because they have sinned against the body and blood of the Lord. They have partaken of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. The holy things of the Lord must never be misused or abused. But yet we, as the people of the New Testament, we have the privilege of having the saving presence of the living God with us each Lord's Day. The presence of God comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ, first and foremost, comes to us to forgive and to save. His word is the divine truth. The baptism he gave, the supper that he left, brings us the benefits of his cross. He comes to us by these sacred means to assure us that we are his forgiven people. But yet, those same outward means of God's grace can be misused by unbelievers. And God will not hold anyone guiltless who insults the Spirit of grace and treats as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant. Christ, the Savior of the world, is also the judge of the living and the dead. We must not take his means of grace for granted. We cannot place them on the same level as the idols of this world. Heathen forms of worship and the worship of the triune God cannot be mixed. The holy means of grace cannot be reduced to the same level as pagan practices. Instead, Christ and his word must be the center of our worship. All other pagan influences do not belong in his holy presence. Whether it's the ancient forms of Daganism or the modern forms of paganism, nothing can be placed on the same level as Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is the very presence of the living God among us. Therefore, this day, let us rejoice in those gifts that Christ has given. For if we persevere in the proper use of his word and sacraments, we have the assurance that he is present with us to forgive us and to save us. May we be those faithful stewards of the mysteries of God placed into our hands for the sake of serving Jesus Christ and his church. In Jesus' name, amen.